Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And looking forward to a good program. And Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, brother, and let you know when your callers call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure appreciate it. And we do welcome everyone tonight to Hope is Alive. Show about testimony of those who overcame, that was oppressed by evil spirits, demonic spirits, by the roaring lion that seeks someone to devour, Satan himself. We just thank everybody for joining us this evening, and if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. It is a wealth of information, that website. It is there. It's well put together. There's lots of tools. Highly recommend it. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582, and he'll get that out to you. And good evening, Pastor. Glad to be back, and once again, it rolled around quickly.
Yes, the weeks go quickly. But it's been a glorious week, and certainly was a glorious Monday night. We had at least 16 cases. I'm not sure how many wound up in the group. We had 16 ministers there, and I think there was maybe three or four in the group. So it was a full evening, a great evening. Everything went very smooth. I had a great case. It was an addiction-type case, and it had been ruining his life. And, you know, I couldn't get the hit demon up, but the rest of the basic deliverance went really well in just working his list and addressing the various groups that we have on that clipboard list that we hand out to people, plus the others that are usually there. And he coughed him out, burped him out, and I handed him a Bible first off with the idea of telling him if he felt the spirits moving in his body to take that Bible and touch on that spot. And he was doing that through the evening of using the Bible himself. And then I had two brothers sitting in, and they're learning, and they were putting their Bibles on him too as I motioned to them, and so we ganged up on the evil spirits big time, and he just looked like $1 million when he left. He had a short leg adjust that really blew his mind. No, I guess it was a short arm in his case. And he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues.
Great.
So I'm still on a high on that one, but just to boost my high, I had a great case today. And a lady, I did get the head demon up, and it said it had been in there in her 20, it came in 20 years ago, and it had a total of 369 spirits under its authority. There was a six-generation curse coming down through the dad's side of cancer, and the head demon, interesting enough, was cancer. Its executive officer was a destroyer. Anyway, it went very well, and we found out various things that we needed to focus on, and got the top 10 lies it was telling her, and the God-given gifts that she has, and she was just delighted. Kept saying, "I feel lighter." So, and she had a short leg adjust too. So, yeah, I'm on a huge high so far this week.
Well, that's some good testimony, and typical testimony. Really, it is. You said it just right with the man with addiction. It was destroying his life, and unfortunately, the addiction destroys so many people we know out there. And the sad part is the world thinks that it needs to be counseled away, medicated away, or, you know, you just don't have any self-control. And so few people realize that 9 out of 10 times it's a spirit. And generally, it's a generational spirit of some sort of addiction.
And yes, it often is.
If we could get people to realize that and get people out there trained and taking care of it, I think addiction would just start winding its way out of our country. I mean, it would just be gone. And I had a niece call me yesterday, was asking me some questions about a friend of hers, and I was trying to explain to her that she was, "Is this scripture gonna be good? This scripture be good?" And I said, "Well, sweetheart, the scriptures are always good. You'll never have a bad scripture to encourage somebody. The Word of God's got so much power in it." And
amen.
I said, "What it sounds to me is your friend has a spirit." And I said, "That usually comes with it was extreme anxiety, because I think it was dealing with extreme anxiety."
Yeah.
And I started talking about stuff. And, of course, she doesn't live around here lived around where I'm at. And I started talking to her about what I've been doing. And she says, "Well, you sound just like so-and-so from church." And she said, if I came down there, they could get that cast out of me.
Yeah.
I said, well, you got to listen to him. And so I gave her the radio show to listen to. I gave her my testimony. I haven't got back with her, and she said she's going to listen to it. I think she would have. But if not, I pray in faith that she will. And I said, if they can't help you, you let me know, and I'll help you. And then I sent her a text a little bit later. I said, what you received was a double witness from the Lord. Do not take that lightly. That often happens where you'll witness to somebody and somebody will say, "Well, so-and-so was just talking to me about that," or "I just read that about in the Bible." I hear that all the time, so
mm-hmm.
I know that when I'm talking to him, it's spirit-led. So I just been praying. Actually, I went to a gathering up in Chicago, spent some time with Brother Leon in the car there and back, and the day coming back on Sunday, we had lifted up my three nieces in prayer. And so it didn't really surprise me. She contacted me. We used some time in the car. We had a pretty good fellowship and had a great time up in Chicago at a Christian gathering with some other brothers. Really Holy Spirit-filled event. And so I got some good time coming back with a brother in Christ. We got put up a lot of people in prayer. So that's what my weekend was like, Pastor.
Praise God. It sounds like you're on a high.
I am on a little bit of a high.
I love the Jesus highs.
Yeah, I love the Jesus highs too, but it's a little hot where I am down in central Arkansas, so the high only goes so far when you're dealing with 94-degree weather sometimes.
Yes.
No, you know, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. And
That's right.
It's so good when you see the Holy Spirit working and get to be with other brothers and hopefully help set a family member free.
And how blessed that lady was that you were talking to, that she's heard about it at all.
Yes.
The majority of Christians, probably 90% of the American Christians, maybe higher than that, do not know about what we're talking about, this works of Jesus, and that he told us to do as believers. And it turns out any believer can do what we're talking about. We've seen that over and over. I've been at it 40 years, and we've learned in our ministry, of course, we can train any Christian that wants to learn to do this, but most never hear about it. I just thank God over and over that somebody shared with me 40 years ago, because I could have missed it so easy. I keep repeating that, but I just praise God somebody shared. Well, there's so many that have never heard this, and of course that's why we're on the radio show tonight, is sharing, and there's no better way to share than through testimonies. Nobody can argue with those.
No, it's pretty hard to argue with testimonies. In fact, several of us were discussing this weekend where we would have been if we hadn't come to deliverance. And, you know, that's often on a... I'm sure you've had that conversation with many people there in Oklahoma City that come to help out. But one of the things that we had talked about was all of us had been faithful payers of our tithe. We always paid our tithes. But we were all talking about just how much in the last 3 to 4 years since we've gone through deliverance, how much more we've been blessed by the Lord. And all of us agreed that it was because the spirit of poverty were cast out, or the spirit of poverty or silence of poverty against us were cast out. And that's just, that's one of the benefits of it. I mean, you can pay your tithe, and just like God says, it says Malachi 3:10, and he'll open the storehouse of the heaven upon you. But if you have spirits or assignments of poverty against you, you might have those storehouses open up, but it seems like you just can't hang on to it, or it doesn't seem to be managed, or this business deal, or maybe that deal goes wrong, or maybe all of a sudden tires start going out, or you might have a change of starter or something like that, or you get a leak in the roof. But it just seems like all of us agreed that over the last 3 to 4 years, things have just been so much better for us in the area of financial blessings.
Hallelujah.
We all agreed it was the spirit of poverty was cast off of us.
A common spirit. In fact, the man I had Monday night had a spirit of poverty. And it's very common. First time I ever saw it manifest was probably 35 years ago, and was in a surgical nurse, and this demon gave its name as poverty, and as I interrogated it, said, "I want to keep her poor. I want to keep her poor so she can't give to that old church. I want to keep her poor." Just kept saying that, and I thought, well, that kind of figures that that's what their mission would be. So how many of those are out there?
I know. Well, think about it. What is the basic assignment of the Antichrist? To come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that steal can be all kinds of things, but one of the things easy to steal and hurt people would be to steal their financial blessings. And we know
that
Lord blesses people financially. Look at Abraham. Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. And when he had 318 men trained for war, you think each one of those men probably had a wife and a couple of kids, and he was taking care of all of them. So, the financial blessings, and we see all through Scripture, men of God had great financial blessings upon them, and the Lord does want to bless you, but first of all, you have to be obedient to His word with tithing, and get rid of these generational curses that are upon you. But Pastor, we have Richard. Richard, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Richard. So glad you called in, and you might back off from the phone just a little bit. It sounded like it was a little loud and distorting. often people have to back off a little bit. But thanks for calling in. And why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself, Richard, and how you, when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, and then experiences you had, even in your ministry session.
Okay. Well, to start off with, my name's Richard. I'm a dad of four children. I have a beautiful wife. I struggled for a long, long time with depression, with generational curses, with all kinds of things that I couldn't explain back then. I was actually reborn three times that I can remember in my life. The first time I was 13 years old, and it was February of 2001. I was running the streets, being a little, you know, pretty much taken into what the flesh wanted and not what I was given. I was also reborn again in Muskogee in 2002. I was 14 years old. And at that time, I was in an independent living home. I was very ignorant in my own ways. Since that time, I have been working in the oil field for about, I worked in it for about 9 years. I didn't much like the way that the lifestyle was, working in the oil field and being away from my family for 2 weeks at a time. I lost a couple of friends in the oil field, and I felt like that wasn't what I was supposed to do. And now, sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in now, I can look back and I can say that everything that I've ever been through was a stepping stone into the rock that I am standing on now. July 17th of this year, which is actually 3 days before my daughter's birthday, I was reborn, or born again, to the Deliverance Ministries. I had actually heard of this out of a jealousy act through a coworker of my wife's. He's a real good friend of mine now, but I don't think I would have met him if it wouldn't have been for being attacked through jealousy. Since I have met and got to work with Everett, my eyes have been so open. I've been so free. I do have, you know, I get attacked every day on a daily basis. I also had issues with my dad, my biological dad, growing up. I never did really know of him until I was around 10, 11, 12 years old. At the age of 13, I thought I was trying to impress him, and I ended up doing drugs with him. He, I guess, was lost in his own ways as well. So I tried to follow in his footsteps, as in using a needle to do drugs, as in just drinking, being aggressively, just not being a very nice person at all. To this day, I love my dad with all my heart, and I pray for him every time I think of him. But I know that I really don't think that he'll ever change his ways, and there ain't nothing I can do about that but try to bless him in the best way that I can. Another thing that, you know, depression got the best of me, and it tried to take me down completely. I hung myself 2 years ago, 2017, and through the blessing of God, my wife was able to save me. I knew then for sure that there was a God. For sure. I was ignorant in my own ways still doing drugs, still drinking. And I had made my family a promise that I would not drink no more. Well, time would go by and I'd pick up a drink, you know, every now and then. But I never got to where every time I'd take them a few couple of steps, I got this just gut feeling. And I knew it was something, that you're doing something wrong. Well, I ended up in Pottawatomie County Jail here in Shawnee it was actually right before my birthday, the 22nd of May. I ended up going to jail for something I had done 6-7 months ago. without going to jail, I would not have got down on my knees, bare naked in a cell, on suicide watch, and begged for forgiveness. Within a month after that, I ran into a good friend of mine, Brother John, and went to a deliverance ministry with him. Well, I come to find out that I had a lot of stuff that I didn't even know about that was bothering me. I was delivered from some secret society rituals that was going on throughout my family, some just bitterness and just all kinds of things that I had going in my life were let go that night. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm out to look for more people to help. And I really hope that my testimony and just my inspiration towards others to do, you know, to do what's right. I mean, when you get that feeling in your gut, that's something, you know. When you get that feeling of guilt, that's conviction, you know.
Amen. Richard, when we after the little interview that we do, then we got into breaking of ungodly soul ties. That seemed to really give you some relief, just that step, right? You saw
Yes.
Relief.
Yes, and the ungodly soul ties. That was a big one for me. Even with my mother to this day, you know, we still have our disagreements, but we're able to talk about them and not get so mad at each other and just part ways. Me and my mom had some issues growing up as well, you know. I blamed her growing up because I was acting bad and she couldn't handle me, so I ended up in, you know, a juvenile state custody. So, you know, I had a lot of kind of, I guess, selfishness and rebellion toward her, and I was able to forgive along with my dad, you know. And with my wife, you know, through the things that we've been through. I've been with my wife 15 years. 15 years. Been married 10 now. You know, she just went through the deliverance ministries this week, this Monday. And, man, I just feel so blessed now because I know that I'm the spiritual leader in my family. And I know that I have to be the one to make an example. So that's what I'm striving for. I see myself, you know, sharing the word of God, helping others, you know.
Have you seen your wife, seen some changes in her already?
Oh, yes. Amen. Yes, I have. I mean, as far as just the smiles on her face, she is glowing. She's got life back to her. She's not just, you know, staring at the floor or the wall in depression all the time. She feels it, and she's got the joy of the Holy Spirit in her now. I can see it.
Praise God. Now, you two were separated, weren't you?
Well, we separated there for about roughly three and a half months. We had got back together. That's how I met Brother John, as I got back with her, and then we were still kind of clashing, and it was due to jealousy with one of our coworkers. And I had actually got... I wanted to fight the guy at the time, and we ended up being reasonable about it, and we was able to talk about it, and he was like, man, I really want to help you, and that's how I had heard about the deliverance ministries. But we was together whenever I had come to the deliverance ministries, but we weren't together, if that makes sense. We were living in the same house, but we were battling each other. We weren't working together, fighting the right fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, after the soul ties, we moved into the dealing with the past traumas that you had, and that brought you a lot of relief as well, didn't it?
Yes, correct. Growing up, I was diagnosed by psychiatric doctors with ADD, ADHD, bipolar, paranoia, depression, PTSD. They want me to take, you know, all kinds of different kinds of medications, which in my eyes, I don't want medications. I wanted spiritual healing. Other past traumas, so far as a suicide, you know, the depression and the suicide attempt, that really affected my family. I mean, I know it still does in a way, but you know, I know that I'm forgiven. My wife knows that, you know, it's in the past. We're all forgiven. I just hope that, you know, I know there's people out there, and I know that it crosses their mind a lot. And I just, I know, I want them to know that everybody deserves Jesus. It's free. I mean, all you got to do is ask.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, when we finished dealing with the traumas, which you had plenty of, the Lord was taking the bad feelings that you've been carrying all these years. That had to feel good, didn't it?
Oh, it felt amazing. Amazing.
It's a supernatural.
I felt like I could do a backflip.
Well, then we moved into ministry, and I was able to get the head demon up, wasn't I?
Yes, son. Destroyer, actually.
Was that a strange experience? What was that like?
No, I experienced something like that when I was 14 years old in Muskogee. But, you know, I've always had a sight, but it's just been clouded due to alcohol, drugs, you know, everything else. You be sober-minded. I mean, you can't see with a sober mind without a sober mind.
Could you hear the destroyer talking out of your mouth?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, you were in the group.
I remember at the beginning that you was talking to me and telling me just to be calm, just to relax, and whatever comes to me, let it come out. And I remember you questioning who's in charge, who's the head demon. And I remember mumbling something. I couldn't even tell you what I was saying. But it was an experience that was different than the first one, I will say that.
Yeah, well, it works well. Yeah. I mean, it's very efficient when it doesn't work with everybody. It's there in everybody, but some people are just not sensitive enough to the spirit world where we can get it up to interrogate it. So that went very well, and we cast, I don't remember how many demons were under his authority. Do you remember how many?
Oh, 33. I had 33.
Okay, yeah, 33. Yeah, and we finally, but it gave the lies it was telling you in your head. Top 10 lies, and I guess you were hearing those in your head previously, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Actually, one of them was the death wish or the death demon.
Yeah.
That was the death of dreams, you know, the suicide, the just stuff like that. It was wild. I've even got my paper that I was given from you that I've held on to very, very close to my heart because of what the demon can take from you. You know, what he can lie to you about. He can't take it from you, but he can make you think that you don't have it no more.
That's what they try to do. Yeah. And hoping you'll buy the lies that they're telling you. Well, one thing that'll counter the lies is the Word of God. As you get more into the Bible and learning the scriptures of who you are in Jesus, the less a person will buy the lies. Well, anyway, we found out your God-given gifts even. How about that? Did you know you had all those gifts?
I was given the gift of sight, forgiveness, worthy, leader, a healer, minister, understanding, appetite for the Lord, acceptance, trust, peace, fellowship, power of prayer, and freedom.
Praise God. Well, those demons were trying to block all that, so now with them gone, hold on to your hat. You'll find those gifts will surface readily in your life, and you'll be going forward doing your destiny.
I see a couple of them already starting to take effect, as a matter of fact. The ministry one, I've already got to actually sit in with the ministry, side by side. I feel like my calling is going to be in the youth ministry, and I'm going to try to get on the streets and try to share the word of God on the streets, to the
praise God,
to the ones that just don't know, the ones that are blinded, you know, due to drugs, due to alcohol, due to, you know, their parents kicking them out as a young kid, and they just give up and haven't tried since. You know, there's so many people just sitting on the side of a building or on a street or in a ditch or just don't even know that they could have somebody that they could be talking to right there, right then, and know that they're loved.
Yes.
Because I've been there. I once was there. I've been there many a times. Many a times.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell it better than anyone because you've been there.
Yes.
The
yes,
that,
the devil, he had me feeling like I wasn't nobody or nothing, and I know I am. I know what Jesus did for me. I know what Jesus asked of me, you know? I know who Jesus, what, like the bracelets that I remember as a kid, which that wasn't that far long ago, about 15, 20 years ago, the what Jesus do bracelets. If you would look at yourself in every position that you ever come into in everyday life, you would think, what would Jesus do? You would be aiming to live just like Jesus. And little things like that click in my head. Man, why didn't I think of that when I was a kid? I said, all this trouble, all this heartache. Well, that's because God has been preparing me to be able to know what was in the dark side. To know what fear was, so I knew what love was. You know? I was lied to, now I know the truth. My eyes are completely open.
Praise God. That's so exciting. Well, I can see the Lord will be steering you, and with those gifts that you have, the doors will open for you to use them. And,
amen.
You're even going through the training now at Deliverance Ministries.
Yes, yes. I actually got the joy of sitting in with you Monday.
Yeah, that you went through the training upstairs with the teams first.
And yes.
Then you were able to sit in with me with that man I ministered. And that was another addiction case itself, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I know that I got through to him. I know whenever he got up after he was born again, he looked me in the eyes. I could see that we communicated, that I got to that man. That right there is what, that right there, give me the thirst. I want more. I want more.
Hallelujah. Well, we're about out of time. In the remaining a minute or so, what else would you say to the listeners?
Jesus loves you. Just ask him. He'll show you. He will show you. I promise you that. I've been through some rough times, and I know there's a lot of people out there, a lot, that just, they know of Jesus, they just don't know of his love, of what he could do for you, how he could be there for you, how he could show you the way to righteousness. Your valuables here on earth are nothing. They're nothing. For I read in the Bibles, it's easier to stick a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. And that right there has really stuck with me, you know, and it's made me feel like I don't need this job. Yeah. I don't need this. I need to be sharing the word. That's what I want to do. So if I can reach out to anybody I can, I want to. And I know that Jesus loves us all the same. It's a free invitation. Just accept it. But I'm going to get off here. I just want to say God bless and love all of y'all.
All right.
And I want to thank y'all for the opportunity to share my testimony.
You did great. God bless you, brother.
Yes, thank you, Richard. Awesome testimony.
Thank y'all.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.
You know, I watched a documentary called Appalachian Dawn. If you haven't seen or heard of that, Pastor Cox, look that up. talked about the revival that went on in Clay County, Kentucky. But there was a man, and I mean, this man was lived a rough life through his childhood, and he got converted and saved, freezing away inside a porta potty on a cold winter night. And it reminded me of what he was talking about, being on that jail cell right there, basically on that. In his documentary, he said, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll live for you. I'll quit living for Satan and live for you." And he survived, and they just everybody talks about his transformation is just incredible, and that's what reminded me when he was talking there about that. Pastor, we have Rochelle. Rochelle, thank you for calling.
Yes.
Good evening.
Hi, Rochelle. Yeah, good day.
Hi, how are you?
We're blessed, and thank you for calling in. And so why don't you go ahead, Rochelle, and just kind of give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and how your deliverance went and changes and many experiences you've seen. So go right ahead.
Okay. My name is Rochelle, and I was born again at the age of 22. I've always been in the house of the Lord, and I grew up in the Lord, and I didn't know too much about deliverance until maybe 1999. I kind of knew something about deliverance. You know, I've heard about deliverance. You know, I read about deliverance. But what made me seek deliverance is because I have been experiencing, or I was experiencing, an incubus spirit that was attacking me for 13 years, and I had no idea what it was about until I started searching, you know, and then that's when I found Pastor Cox on the, it was the website, and that's when I started, you know, seeking deliverance, and, you know, I reached out to him, and, you know, he invited me out, you know, to come, you know, for deliverance on Monday night. You know, I brought a friend with me, and the next time I came again, I brought my son with me, you know, and then, you know, I say, okay, you know, I went through that a couple of times, and then, you know, I start still feeling like something is still there, it's holding me back. So I reached out to him again, and I had a one-on-one session with him, and that's when I really, truly felt the release and the breakthrough of it.
And the incubus spirit, Rochelle, is so common, it's actually in Webster's Dictionary. I have one of the old Webster's Dictionary in my office, and it tells exactly what it does, a sexual spirit that comes upon people typically in the night. And you were bothered with it all those years.
Yeah.
So yeah. You had some other spirits bothering you as well. You'd gotten freedom in the other deliverances you had pretty much with those?
Yes, I've gotten freedom from, you know, from some other areas in my life. You know, I have just been, you know, bothered down. I mean, it's just like I feel like I've just been in bondage with the spirit of poverty and, you know, just all different type of generational stuff. And, you know, God has just delivered me and set me free of that, you know. So it has just been like, you know, from within, it's just like a freedom that I walk in. And I said, I know that I've been delivered. I know that I know in my knowing, you know, that I've been delivered, because it's just different, you know, from that I'm free now and I feel the freedom than when I was in bondage and knew that I was in bondage.
When you came for ministry, we got the head demon up, didn't we? I've kind of forgotten already.
Yes.
Did we get the head demon up?
Yes.
Yeah, where I get interrogated, and what had been hard to it was hard sometimes with basic deliverance to get to the roots, but when you can get the head demon up where you can interrogate it as a prisoner of war, that's when we found out the root and got that door shut. And wasn't that a generational curse? I forget about them so
quickly. Yeah. It was.
In quite a few generations, as I recall.
Yeah.
So we got
like
that generational curse.
3 or 4 back, yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 4 generations back. And how many demons did it yet have under it? Do you remember that?
12,
uh-huh. And we found out if there was any remaining legal rights for them to be there or assignments that hadn't been canceled. And in that part, we finally rounded them all up and blew them out as a package. So, as I recall, you look pretty happy at that point.
Yes, and I am still. Yes, because, I just felt like, it was just like something transpired for me, in my emotions, my mental state, the way that I think, the way that I look at things, my outcome, my talk, and everything, even though I've always been in the Lord, it was like I was not as free as I wanted to be. And I didn't know how to get free. I didn't know how.
Well,
so that's when I started searching. Like, I was like, okay, Lord, something is wrong here. This should not be, I should not be hindered like this. When it's like when you're walking a clean life and doing the best you know how, something is still there to where it's like blocking.
Yeah.
It's like a mind blocking thing,
You knew it was there. So, when all that was passed out, so how do you feel now?
How do I feel?
How do you feel now, Rochelle? Yeah.
Oh, I feel absolutely wonderful. Glory be to God, I do. I mean, I can honestly say this truthfully. I feel wonderful.
Praise God.
I do. I do because I've experienced it. I've experienced it and I knew what it felt like. I knew what that situation felt like. And then to be delivered, I know what that felt like too.
You probably even feel lighter.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Honestly, I do. Yes.
We're always commenting about that because so many people after their ministry session, they say they feel lighter, so that's the reason I said that.
Yeah, I did experience that.
Praise God. Well, let's see, we got the lies it was telling you in your head, didn't we? Had you been hearing those lies in your head previously before the ministry?
Well, I think that, I had a dream, and then I was like, I remember you saying it was a trick. I said, then I got up and I started rebuking that. And I was like, no, devil, that's you're a lie. That is not true. That is not the truth. And, it just went on about his business.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to stand like, no.
Well,
I'm like, nope, I'm free. I've been delivered. God has set me free. I'm walking in my freedom. I'm not bound to chains. Freedom is mine, and I'm keeping it.
Amen. And you know not to buy any lies that would come at you now because you're aware.
Oh, absolutely.
Most Christians sometimes even think those lies are coming from God. I've had people tell me that. In fact, some of the times I've had them say they are God. Or they're the Holy Spirit, and if you love me, now cut your arm. And the person would cut their arm. I said to him later, where's your common sense? Does that sound like our Jesus saying to cut your arm?
Mm-hmm.
But some people they think it's God talking to them, so they do these weird things. Well, it's just lies of the enemy. And, of course, there's a way when a voice is coming at you, you can interrogate it. And 1 John 4 provides for that. Where you say to it, will you confess what you just told? Will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And the voice will say yes or no to that. So you can find out who's talking. But you know, we all have grown up not knowing anything about this. I was age 44, Rochelle, before I knew anything about it. And I certainly wish I had known these things earlier. But praise God, somebody did share, and somebody shared with you, so you found out about it, and how you could clear these areas out of your life and go forward. Well, that's exciting. Have you thought about going through the training, Rochelle?
Yes, I have, you know, thought about it a lot, you know, since you had asked me and everything, because, you know, my desire is to, you know, not only see myself free, but see others free and see my children free and my family members free, because, you know, it's like nobody really have, you know, like I did not, and have the knowledge, and people is walking around bound and not knowing that they can be free. But sometimes some people don't know how to reach out, you know, for the help that they need, you know. So it's, you know, it is my desire to, you know, see others free, because it's like a freedom that they don't know of, you know. They'll feel much better each day, you know. They will.
Yes. Well, no one's told them about it and what's going on. And, of course, some people initially have a hard time believing there can be evil spirits around, and then there's a certain number they think there's evil spirits, but they can't bother Christians. And of course, I've been casting demons out of Christians for 40 years now, and the answer to that is the demons are not in our spirit person. They're hanging out in the body and the soul area, the mind, will, emotions. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 even points out that we have these three parts. And so when somebody says, well, Christians can't have demons, they're not thinking at all about the three parts. They're just lumping it together, you know. But the person figures, well, there's no way they could have demons then. They just think it's them. They don't know the real enemy. Frustrating.
Yeah.
But that's why we're on the radio show tonight, is with these testimonies, which are hard to argue with. You know, when a person says, here's the way my life was, here's what happened when I was ministered to, and here I am now, the person can't say, no, you're not. You know, they can't argue with it, with a testimony. So that's why we're doing it. Testimonies are the best way to actually share it, I think, with people that don't know about it. You can tell your testimony. And you were already a Christian, of course, and tell what went on, and that people will get to thinking, well, maybe I need some of that, you know.
Yes, because so I have talked to, you know, a lot of my sisters in Christ, and they are now experiencing what I've shared, you know, because I've asked them, I say, hey, have y'all experienced any of these kind of attacks? This is before I got delivered. And it is so many people that are experiencing it, they just, you know, don't want to talk about it, or, you know, ashamed about it, you know, that's what's happening to them. And they're keeping it a secret, and they're silently suffering, you know, and don't know how to reach out, or don't want to say anything, or don't want to look a certain kind of way if they say something, because, you know, people was looking at me like I was crazy when I was, you know, telling them about it, you know. And I, you know, then some of them secretly said, that is happening to me. So I know it's happening to a lot of people, and they're just not reaching out.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, some people won't talk about it because they're afraid someone will think they're crazy. But where we are here at Deliverance Ministries, we see that those spirits quite often. In fact, the lady I ministered to today at the office had an incubus spirit, and we were able to get to the root of that and cast it out. So it's we hear it about it all the time, actually. And
yeah.
And people mark it on their problem list. It's on the problems that people have, and
yeah.
they circle it. They wouldn't talk about it anywhere else, but they will at Deliverance Ministries. So
yeah.
we've all got a job to do. Of course, the ministers, they've had deliverance themselves. That's how they learned about it, and they wanted to help and help others. As they got free, they wanted to have a part in setting others free. And it's,
yeah.
that's kind of like you there, Rochelle.
Yeah.
It didn't surprise me. At some point, you probably go through our training and be a team leader.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yeah.
do you have any
mm-hmm.
other experiences to share? We've got a few minutes left. What else have you seen in the deliverance circles that the listeners might want to hear about?
Well, if I end up getting, you know, because I was, you know, I had been dealing with the spirit of, you know, poverty and stuff like for a long, long, long time, and you know, I would get a job and, you know, would barely make any money, and I just see some areas just in, I see things turning around for me in that area.
Yeah.
I do. I see things turning around for me, you know, because I'm like, okay, since I'm delivered, I should be able to see some manifestations of that delivery. And
absolutely.
I said, Lord, I need a miracle. My phone had been off for a long time, and I just couldn't afford to pay it because I have to pay for me and my son because he's in college. And I said, Lord, I need a miracle. I got on my knees that day, and that same day, I was blessed to get my phone turned back on. So I was like, I know God is moving. I know for a fact.
Hallelujah.
So I'm seeing the manifestations of that deliverance.
Praise God. We were talking about the spirit of poverty earlier in the show, and how common that is. That's one of the ploys. If they can keep a minister or a Christian, rather, in poverty, they don't have any funds to go forward. It does take money to live in this world, and
yes.
we've run into spirits of poverty through quite a bit, actually. It's another one of those common ones in the group of several dozen minimum that most people have. And so when we got you cleaned out the other day, I can't remember if we specifically, I didn't need to get the names of all the demons in this hit demon technique. I just need to find out if they have any remaining legal rights or satanic assignments that haven't been canceled. And at that point, we're actually ready to cast them out as a package, the hit demon and all the others. But
mm-hmm.
a poverty spirit was among that group.
Yeah.
So hold on to your hat, Rochelle. Excitement
yeah.
is ahead of you. Well,
amen.
As we wind up here, what else, anything else you would say to the listeners before we wind up and hang up?
I would say that when you reach out to Jesus, he reaches back. I would say seeking deliverance would be the best thing that a person could do, because it's freedom like none other. You begin to really see things differently. You can hear differently. You can feel differently. Your thought process is just different.
And
you know, it's like you don't have nobody controlling your mind, you know, but God. You don't have no demons in the way and tormenting you, because they're tormenting, you know. And it's not a good feeling to be tormented. But seeking deliverance is the best thing. And I said, I'm not ashamed to seek deliverance. And I didn't care what it didn't matter what it was. I got rid of things, anything that I felt like could connect, that connected me to one of those spirits. I got rid of things in my home. I got rid of things that, you know, old boyfriends have purchased and got me gifts. I got rid of anything that you could think of. I didn't care nothing about nothing material. The only thing I cared about was my deliverance and my children's deliverance. That's it. I didn't care nothing about nothing else.
I said,
we must be delivered.
You did a spiritual.
And I, you know, standing like the gap for my children, believing God for their deliverance, and that's just what that was. And that's why I seek deliverance like I did. I mean, I watch videos upon videos, you know, of deliverance and read upon deliverance. Got in that word. I crack open that Bible and I got in that word and I start quoting those scriptures and standing on that word about that deliverance. And every day I would get in that word and I say, nope, 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 I am going to be delivered. I mean, because when you've been tormented like that, you're going to run to Jesus.
Well, thank you, Rochelle. We're out of time. Yeah. That was a wonderful testimony. That definitely will encourage others.
Yes, it
was.
God bless you, and I'll be talking to you later.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Hey, bye-bye.
Okay, God bless.
God bless.
I like the way she said that early on in the testimony. I was free, but I knew I wasn't as free as I should be in Jesus. And that's just...
Yeah.
That's common. There's so many of us that do get set free when we come to the Lord, but we still have that oppression. And she's right. After deliverance, your thought process changes, your outlook changes. So much of you changes because the real you is there, and it's not being blocked by the enemy so much anymore. So we do thank you for joining this evening. God bless, and we'll see everybody next week.
Blessings to everyone.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
to overcome,
ooh,
all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.